Thanks for joining during your lunch. I have some pie for you, some raspberry pies with a little bit of Java coffee. So let's jump in. Normally there was a session planned now about Kotlin, so I have a little piece of Kotlin in this presentation. I'm not a Java Kotlin developer myself. What is the Raspberry Pi if you don't know it? This amazing small board. It's really small. This is the Raspberry Pi Zero. And yes, indeed, that's €15. This is a full PC, a full Linux PC, where you can run on Java, Java VIX, anything that you do as a Java developer, you can also do on this small device. Of course, it's not so powerful, but it still allows you to do a lot of experiments. And what is special about Raspberry Pi is those pins where you can connect electronic components. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about. I see I have some missing images. That's a good start. There was also Raspberry Pi Pico announced, launched a few years ago. That's actually a microcontroller. So if you see a Raspberry Pi Pico, if you ever played with Arduino, it's more comparable to that, so we cannot run Java on that one. So what is a Raspberry Pi? It's a single board computer. You can run a lot of different Linux distributions on them. I mostly start with the Raspberry Pi operating system, which is the official one. But you also have gaming operating systems, a NAS system, any kind of thing that you can think of does exist. There is a website, awesome, Raspberry Pi, where you'll find all these. There are many versions which are also 32 or 64 bits, which can be interesting if you want to do some specific experiments. And they make 400,000 Raspberry Pis a month, and still you cannot find them. Because of the chip shortage, this 400,000 is not enough. They do reserve a lot of them for industrial use. So as a consumer, a maker, you have to find them. RPILocator.com is a website which polls a lot of websites who sell Raspberry Pis, and they list them. And if you follow them on Twitter or on Mastodon, you will get an alert if a certain type becomes available. I have been speaking at FOSDEM virtually, thanks to Fujie, in the last 2 years. And in 2001, I spoke about how I got into Java on Raspberry Pi. I started doing some personal projects. I wanted to have a touchscreen controller for the drum boot of my son. I wanted to use Java VIX, and I was missing a lot of documentation. So I wrote about that, and I ended up, even before building that thing for my son, I have written a book, and then afterwards, finally, he got his controller. In the book, I explained, and also in the FOSDEM talk, how you get started with this, how you can use Pi4J. Pi4J is a library, more about that later, to help you as a Java developer. And I also gave some examples of running Java AVIX on a Raspberry Pi. So 2001 was my explanation how I got started with Java and Raspberry Pi, and has been my niche pet project ever since. And last year I was here again because there were new Raspberry Pi boards launched, and we had to do some changes in Pi4J because they were not compatible anymore. And so in 2021, we launched version 2 of Pi4J, which is more compatible with the newer ports, which uses Java 11 under the hood, and allows you to do a lot of fun stuff, and I give you some examples. I also gave an example of a CrowPi OS. CrowPi OS is an operating system based on the official Raspberry Pi operating system, but FHNW is a university in Switzerland. They have a lot of courses where they use both Java, Raspberry Pi, electronics, all kinds of stuff. And they contribute a lot back to the Pi4J project. And they made an operating system with some additional tools for Java developers, like the latest Java VIX is there, the latest Java is there. On the background screen of your desktop, you see the IP number of your computer, which is very handy if you have a lot of Raspberry Pis and you never find back the connection to them. Also some experiments with FHGL. Who has used FHGL or know what it is? No? Definitely take a look at it. It's by Almas. He's a professor at an English university, and he created an amazing library for creating games. If you ever want to do some fun stuff and create a game with Java and Java VIX, FHGL is the project, and you will also find a lot of info about that on Fujie. And I also had some demos with Hive MQ. That's also something that is very easy to do, is messaging from Raspberry Pi towards a cloud provider. Hive MQ is a messaging platform, but they have a free cloud solution for up to 100 devices. Every maker with more than 100 devices can now raise his hands. Nope. Okay. That's the place to be where you can find those things. Now, Py4j. Py4j is a Java library. That means it's a dependency. You add it to your Java project. Inside the library are, is native code. Native code that will call the different protocols that you can use to interact with the pins on your Raspberry Pi. So the simplest thing, you connect the LED and you can make the LED blink, but you can go a lot further, read temperatures, control LED displays, all that kind of stuff. Now, with the launch of Py4j version 2, we also launched a new website. And actually, that's my role in the project. I didn't contribute a lot to the sources of the Py4j library, but I focused on the documentation part. Just like Fuji wants to be the source of truth for all Java developers to find information about Java, Py4j wants to be that for the Raspberry Pi, where you have information about how you run JavaFX on a Raspberry Pi. One of the nice use cases of JavaFX is a kiosk mode, so that a user interacting with your Raspberry Pi through a touchscreen cannot do anything else than your application. They cannot go to reboot or format C in Linux terms. Now let's look back at what happened last year. For me personally, my biggest change is I joined Azul. Azul is one of the distributors of OpenJDK. I'm part of the documentation team. And because of that, I can also focus a bit on writing documentation for Fuji and articles and other stuff like that. But it was meant to be, because Azul has a lot of distributions of, it's called Zulu. That's the core product of Azul, is a distribution of OpenJDK, like you have so many. What is the main advantage of Azul Zulu is that it is available for a lot of platforms, more platforms than most other distributors. All other distributors. And that's the nice thing that I found out after joining Azul. They are even the only one which support all the oldest Raspberry Pi models. Now, what I also found out is, who knows SDKMAN? Yes? Okay, look it up. SDKMAN allows you to switch between Java versions with one command. It didn't run on the Raspberry Pi. And that was, of course, that hurt. Fuji, the website for Friends of OpenJDK, behind the scenes, there is the Disco API. The Disco API is an API to search for Java distributions. Now, the same Disco API is used by SDKMAN. And SDKMAN is a tool for Linux and Mac, where you can do, it's a one-line installation script. Then you do SDK list Java, and you will get a list of all the available Java distributions for your platform. Now, because of the Disco API and small changes done by Gerrit Grunwald, who's also an Azul colleague, who is maintaining that, and by changes in SDKMAN, and I did very few, very small commits to that, we were able to get to this. So if you have this Raspberry Pi Zero from the first generation, which has an ARM V6 processor, is a different architecture than the newer ones, you will get four versions of Java that you can install. Unfortunately, it's only Zulu, it's only Zulu who will work. There is still a problem with the architecture of the processor that has some issues there. But so you can install with SDKMAN Java on any type of Raspberry Pi. Because, I have something else here. If you run the same command on a newer Raspberry Pi with a 64-bit operating system, Raspberry Pi OS has that now, since recently, officially. 45 extra lines, so there are more than 50 Java distributions, and this screenshot, I think it dates from, it's from a Fuji article in last February. So Java 19 is not on this list. So there are now more than 60, I guess, Java versions that you can install, distributions that you can install on a Raspberry Pi. Another article I wrote for Fuji is Gbang. Who used Gbang? No. Since Java 11, I think you can run Java files without compiling them. If you have a single Java file which does some simple things, you can just run it. You don't need to compile it. What SD Kaman adds, what Gbang adds, is you can define your dependencies in that one single file. So if you install Gbang on a Raspberry Pi or on any computer where you didn't run Java yet, it will install Java for you. And then you can just create a text file. And then with this Gradle-style definition of dependencies inside your Java file, Gbang has everything it needs to run your code. So this example is based on the minimal code example that we have on the Pi4j website. It's just to control a let. Let me see if the video works here. If it doesn't show you, I will just forward you to fuji.io where you can find the full... Nope, no video. Okay, we didn't try this before. You see, these sessions here go very fast. Eh? How much time do you have? Another fun project I love is Vadin. Vadin allows you to build user interfaces with pure Java. So you, if you ever played with JavaFX, it's a bit the same feeling, but then for web applications. Vadin, so you have button elements and table views and all that kind of stuff. I also wanted to create an example using Vadin on the Raspberry Pi, and that's exactly what I have done. And this video will play. So this is the web interface without any modification that you get from a default Vadin project. There you have a custom setup with just a let and a small button. And then you have this Vadin application running. So this is a Spring application, combination of Spring, Vadin, Pi4j, and that's running on the Raspberry Pi. So it's running on the Raspberry Pi, you see also on the top. I'm not going to show you any rocket science experiments. It's just pure basics. It's blinking a LED, the hello world of programming electronics. And you see after the button has been touched that the info changes there. So that's all what is documented. 5 minutes, okay. Good. I promised you some Kotlin. I'm not a Kotlin developer myself, but Pi4j, the project, it's a community project, it's an open source project, so we welcome anyone who wants to contribute. And Muhammad Hashim, who once, as a student, I think, developed a Kotlin implementation of the first version of Pi4j, said, I can do that again. So he created a Kotlin implementation on top of Pi4j. So if you are a Kotlin developer and want to do Kotlin on a Raspberry Pi, you can do so and even control electronics. I'm not a Kotlin developer. These are just some example codes that I took from his examples. Now, what the fun thing is that he also went back to the documentation part of the Pi4j website and added 4 pages or 5 pages with documentation about how to do this with Kotlin. So if you're interested in Kotlin on the Raspberry Pi, go to pi4j.com. Now, a few things I can tell you about this year and what we're going to do. Just as an experiment again, I wanted to create a library. Now, I got very worried about how I have to maintain libraries and the legal part, so I don't know if this was a good idea. I wanted to create a library containing a database of all the Raspberry Pis, the history, and what pins they have and what you can do with these pins. We need it for another project, so I wanted to create this library. Now, on top of this library, we actually created api.pi4j.com. And again, I used Vadin. I know it. I've used it before. So this application, api.pi4j.com, it's public. It's using a library containing a database with Raspberry Pi information, and it's visualizing it here. And because it's a Spring application, we can, of course, have Swagger and all that kind of stuff. But the fun thing is, of course, it runs on a Raspberry Pi. It runs on a Raspberry Pi that we got from this company, finaltech.com, in Czech. So somewhere in Prague, in a data center, a Raspberry Pi is hosting this pi4j.com. I don't know how performant this is, so if you all visit it at the same time, we will know it. And then something unexpected happened a few weeks ago. I was asked by Daniel Frey, how about Spring Boot and Pi4J? Does that exist? No, but now it does, because he created it. So Daniel Frey and Sean Carter are two guys from the Spring team, and they just developed this. And I joined them in a Twitch. It was a bit chaotic, but yeah, it was a Twitch. And we didn't finish it yet, but we're working on it. So you'll have a Spring Boot starter that will help you to detect which Raspberry Pi you are running it on, how it should be configured. It will create a context for you. The context is that it loads all the plugins to control the GPIOs, and that you will be able to also, how is it called? The info controller, the Prometheus list of all the data that you get from Spring and what?
Grafana?
Yeah, that you can use it for Grafana. So you will have all this data available, what IO pin is toggled, what is active, what is the signal that is arriving at this pin. So that kind of info, it's not finished. We're working on it, so maybe if I'm back here next year, I can show you. So what is next? You can visit me on Twitter. I'm also on Mastodon on the Fuji's social account. Of course, with Fuji, we also started the Mastodon service. And I write a lot about all this kind of stuff, and you can find it either on Fuji or on Pi4J. And that's all I wanted to tell you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.